Amen. Or how many are just glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad to be here already? Well, today we are going to be kicking off a new series that we're going to do for the next 3 weeks. And we're going to call this series, Revealing the Champion in You. Revealing the Champion in You. And I believe that in every one of us we have a champion, a spiritual champion that's waiting to be revealed in our life. Do you realize that? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a champion inside you. And some of you didn't look convinced when you said that. You would think you live with that person or something and you have doubt. Look at the other person. I mean it this time. Say it like you really mean it. And say, I believe there's a champion inside you. Today, you know, one of the most impressive things about all athletic events is I really love the Olympics. How many like the Olympics? Do you really like the Olympics? I mean, I remember back in the day before ESPN was just getting started off the ground. You know, you had ESPN, they had arm wrestling 24 hours a day going on this channel, and there really wasn't sports like we had it today. But man, when the Summer Olympics came around, man, you had sports all day long. So as a kid who loved athletics and a kid who loved sports, I loved the Olympics, especially in the summertime when there was no school. I would stay up all night and watch every event there was. You know, if USA was going for the gold, I was there. I don't care if it was underground, you know, underwater basket weaving, I was watching it. USA! I mean, I was there and I was rooting for them because I love competition and I love the Olympics. And one of the things I really like about the Olympics is the opening ceremonies. I mean, the way they just move. And I just like to see the creative genius behind all these open ceremonies. And each country has their own unique ability to put their personal stamp of design and creativity upon these Olympic and open ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. But needless to say that what always happens, whether it's in Sydney, Australia, or Los Angeles, Atlanta, or Seoul, Korea, wherever they seem to have the Olympics, because they always seem to incorporate past Olympic heroes. And I think that's something that's really impressive because you always go back and you remember those times. And I can remember, you know, Edwin Moses, you know, back when I was really young, back in, you know, 1980. And I can remember, he's really the first Olympian. I really remember him doing those hurdles, you know, and thinking, man, I could do that. I can be a hurdler just like Edwin Moses. And I really remember the 84 Olympics really well. I can tell you just about all the things that happened in the 84 Olympics. Some reason, you know, I can't remember where I parked my car in Walmart last week, but I can tell you what happened in the 1984 Olympics. I can tell you about the gymnastics teams and the men's and women's. I can tell you about the hockey. I remember watching the hockey upset. You know, remember the Winter Olympics when the guys upset the Russians, or a bunch of amateurs upset the undefeatable Russian professional hockey team. I mean, all those great memories of these heroes, and I love the heroes things. And I remember these guys coming in and always showing all these big heroes. And I think that every Olympian just doesn't wake up and is an Olympian overnight, does it? There's a great commitment that takes place in being a world champion and being an Olympian. An Olympian champion spends years and years training for that one moment, you know. Just give me that one moment, you know. In that one moment of time. You know, yeah, one moment. You're crying, you know, and you think, boy, that's pretty neat. But you don't see that kid had been going since he was 7 years old to the gym and was having to be homeschooled and tutored. And his parents had to have three. How many of the anointings in the house right there? We got that, okay? They're working on this head mic this morning. We're trying to get it working back again. So just bear with us this morning. Can you hear me okay now? Okay. Can you hear me back there? Raise your hand if you can hear me all right. Okay. All right. I got the other mic just right here. Well, I'll pull to it if I have to. Okay. We're ready. No matter what happens here. Right. How many know that's just an outward sign of the anointing of God? You get too much anointing, you go through the microphone, it just happens that way. No. But we get these great moments that happen, and this doesn't happen overnight. So you don't see that. It took three mortgages, you know, and the family had to move miles apart, and the mom moved with the training, the kid and down in Dallas, where the other dad stayed home and worked three jobs to support them. And I mean, there's just a lot of things that take place that you don't realize that really happen, and money and effort and training that goes on to that one moment of being a world champion or having a chance to compete and to place in a medal ceremony in the World Olympics. And there's things that happen to prepare them all their life for that. And there's decisions today that we can make in our life to prepare us to be champions, spiritual champions that God has designed us to be. That God is wanting every one of us to begin to learn to reveal the champion that he's designed us to be. I believe very much that all of us have a destiny in Christ, and that all of us have a champion, a spiritual giant inside of us that God is longing to reveal out. And, you know, I've talked about this fact before, that how many know that every one of us have a six-pack? Do you realize that? How many would love to just get up in the mirror tomorrow and, you know, and think, whoa, that six-pack is right there. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's nice today outside. Some of you are already thinking about it. Man, I got to get back in the gym. It's not going to be long. It's going to be time to hit the water and get out there. You're thinking about getting back into shape. And, you know, and we think, well, if I just had abs like that, and I tell you this, that you already have abs like that. Do you know that? Do you have abs already? Problem is, they're covered up with fat, and we can't see it. That's the truth. That's the truth. We all have abs, but in order to get our abs to show, it's not us getting up here and you know, it's not me getting my muscles so big and my abs as they poke out. No, it's me trimming back my body fat so that my abs can show. That's how I can show abs, is by trimming my body fat. And that, you know, those days are long gone for me, and that just seems like a distant memory. Anybody say amen to that? All right. Can you understand what I'm saying? But I still have my abs there. And this is kind of what I'm talking about in becoming a spiritual giant, that all of us have a champion inside of us. It's there. The champion's already inside you. The spiritual champion that God has designed you to be is already inside you. We just got to learn to cut away some fat out of our lives, spiritual fat, and get back into a daily discipline that will reveal and flex those spiritual muscles in our life that they can be seen. I think that, you know, the Olympics, we're talking about the Olympics here. If we can find these Olympics going all the way back to the biblical times, we see in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote it like this. He says, you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. So run to win. There you go. All you guys who are competitive, the Bible has just given you an excuse to be competitive right there, okay? Some of you say, you're too competitive, you know, and I know, guys, we have some ladies even here, that we have a tendency sometimes to overdo, to be competitive. We have a chance to stop doing things that way, and sometimes we overdo this thing about being competitive. The Bible's very clear. If you're going to play, you know, run it to win. So, you know, it's a fine balance. We're trying to teach our kids that, you know, you play to win, but, you know, if you don't win, you still have a good attitude, and it's still important that you had a good time and good sportsmanship and all that. But it's still important that when you play to win. Why else would you play? I mean, I have a hard time not understanding why you want to. I mean, I don't care if I'm playing checkers, if I'm running the race, if I'm playing on the team. I don't care if we're going to the restaurant down the street. I want to win. Don't look at me that way. Now, you know you are the same way. I want to win, you know, and that what God's teaching me has taught me how to lose gracefully, because I don't win near as much as I used to. I don't win near as much as I used to. You know, I love playing with my kids, and I tell you what, you say, do you take it easy on your kids? No. There's going to come a day they're going to whoop me, and so I'm going to whoop them every chance I can right now. Every race, I do not let them win. If we wrestle, they do not win. If we're playing football or basketball, or checkers, or cards. If we're trying to see who can get it ready the fastest, they do not win, because they're going to beat me pretty soon, and I want to get it all in right now. And so we play to win. It's just a strive within us. We want to win. And that's what Paul said. He says, I know that you run the race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize, so run it to win. All those who compete in the game use the self-control so that they can win a crown. That crown is an earthly thing that lasts only a short time, but our crown will never be destroyed. And what he's saying here is this, that we use self-control to win some things that's going to last for a short time. But there's something that's more important than winning the race when it comes to physically winning the race. There's something more important than being competitive and always being the one who wins an earthly race. But he's talking about the spiritual thing that's really important. And the Bible talks about this much in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, spend your time and energy training yourself for spiritual fitness. All right, for those of you who have not done physical fitness, this is your scripture. Oh, praise God, I've been doing spiritual fitness. Okay. He says, spend your time and energy training yourself for spiritual fitness, because physical exercise has some value. Let's stop right there. So he's saying that there is value to physical exercise. But he says spiritual exercise is much more important for promise and reward in both this life and the next. So there are things that we do in our life that are physical exercises that we are supposed to put value on, that we don't just value competitiveness and winning the prize here and being the first at this, the first at that, and getting our bodies back into shape and going to the gym. Those things all have their place, and those things all have their place. But, you know, there's a thing that's a lot more important than that. It's winning the spiritual race. And if we miss that, we've missed it all. That if we think just winning the race when it comes to our job, when it comes to our college education, or comes to getting the next raise, or getting this accomplishment and that accomplishment, he's saying, listen, it's not about the earthly accomplishments. It's about the spiritual things that we do. That's what's going to last. That's what matters. And so becoming a spiritual giant that God has called you to be, being the giant, revealing that giant within, takes some practice of spiritual things in our lives, some spiritual disciplines. And I want to make it very simple for you today and very practical. And I want to go over some of these things that help us reveal the champion and being the person God has called us to be. And first of all, we're going to talk about the most important thing is to focus, to focus your life, to focus on God. To focus your life, to focus on God. How do you become the champion that God's called you to be? First of all, you start right here. You got to learn to focus your life, focus it upon God, putting the priority where it belongs. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says it like this. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He settled on us as the focus of his love. You are the focus of God's love. You are the focus of God's attention. You are the focus of God's love. Wow. Some of you here today, you haven't felt love in so long. Some of you don't even know sometimes what you feel like true love really is. And I say that true love is God's love. No greater example than true love than God's love. And he says that he knew us, that he had us in mind, that we are the object of God's love. And because he has placed so much attention on us, what's he want in return? He wants us to place all that attention back on him. He wants us to learn to focus on him, that he is, we are the object of his love, and he should be the number one object of our love in return. That, but so many times in our life, we get this role reversed, that we love so many different other things in our life. That we love so many different other things in our life that they begin to control us, and they begin to do things, and we find our priorities changing, and we find ourselves living our life where they become ahead of what we're trying to do. How many know that the most important thing we can do is put God first in our life, focusing upon him, saying, God, I'm not going to love anything else more than I love you. Now, I tell you, there was a time in my life when that wasn't true. It's a time I love a lot more things more than I love my relationship with God. But when I begin to change and say, God, I want to grow, go to a different level in you, my focus had to begin to change. My focus had to change to, God, all right, I'm going to love you more than anything else, more than any hobby, more than any person, more than any dream, more than anything I want to accomplish, God. I'm going to worry about my relationship with you. I'm going to make you the focus, my number one focus. And if nothing else ever happens in my life, you and me, we're going to be okay, because I'm going to put my full focus upon you. And when I did that, it began to change my life. I began to do things, and my priorities began to get back in place, and things began to happen. I began to reveal the champion in me. Truths about God's love that we focus on. Truths about God's love that we focus on. So how do we focus on this? First of all, we know he made you. Very simple, he made you. Number two, he knows you. And number three, he has an amazing plan for your life. That God has an amazing plan for your life. This is why we focus on God, because he made us. He knows us. And he has an amazing plan for your life. So we have to have some daily habits to help us get focused on God. How do we get focused on God? Let me give you some ways to help you get focused on God. Number one, tell God how great he is. Tell God how great he is. Every day, we should be telling God how great he is. Daniel 9:4 talks about it like this. Oh Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill the promises of unfailing love to those that you have and have keeping your commands, that you love and who keep your commands. Oh Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill the promises of unfailing love to those that love you and who keep your commands. Daniel was just saying, God, you're a great God. And why is it important that we give God praise every day in our life? Why is it important that we tell God how great He is in our life? Because if we don't do this, we get caught up in the whirlwind of life. We get caught up. If we don't tell God we love Him, one of two things happens. Either we get focused in on our problem and our circumstances, and they seem so big. We have things we're going through, and if we don't tell God how great He is, we'll put our attention to how great our problems are. We'll put our attention to how great our problems are, and our problems begin to magnify, and our problems begin to look differently. And our problems get so big because we focus all of our attention on them. Or if I don't put my attention to my problems, if I'm not having problems, and I don't put my attention to God, and then I begin to get pride and thinking, I don't need to tell God how great He is because look how great I am. Look what I'm accomplishing. Look what I'm doing in my life. Look the things that are happening in my life. And so if I don't learn to daily tell God how great He is, I begin to look at my own self and do things differently. And so when I focus on my problem, how many know when you focus on that problem, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger? Do you realize that? You stare at your problem long enough and it'll begin to take your whole picture away. That's the only thing you'll see in your camera viewfinder is your problem. But when you begin to focus on God, your problem hasn't disappeared, but it sure does seem a lot smaller. Because when you see how big God is, when you see how much He's done in your life, when you remember what He's brought you through, when you remember that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory, that He shall supply what I'm going through and take care of what I'm going through in my life, when I'm focusing upon who God is, my problems begin to shrink. My problem gets smaller. And I realize that, God, I cannot do nothing without You. And so my pride begins to get smaller because I realize that, God, I am nothing without You. God, I accomplish nothing aside from You. And so it's important that every day I take time to say, God, I love You. Every day I take time to give God praise in my life. Every day we tell God how great He is. There's a word for focusing on our problem, and the word is worry. How many know that worry? Man, we spend so much time worrying our life, don't we? We spend so much time worrying about things that we're going through. We spend so much time worrying about what's happening in our life, the problems we're going through in our life. How many can today say, you know what, Pastor, I spend a lot of time worrying. Anybody be honest and say that to you? I tell you, there's times in my life I can say I fall into that. How many, what's the opposite of worry? I just say this. It may not be in the dictionary, but I'll give you what I believe the opposite of worry is, worship. Because when I worship the Lord, I'm saying, God, yeah, the problems are still there, but I'm refusing to worry about my problems. I'm refusing to try to get it all figured out in my mind, and instead of trying to get it all figured out, I'm going to get You figured out, which is knowing that, God, when I worship You, and God, when I put my trust in You, that, God, You're going to work those other things out. I'm not going to live my life in fear. I'm not going to live my life worried about my problems. I'm not going to live my life worried about things that have happened that I can't control. I can't control what happened yesterday. But what can I control? What happens today. Some of you need to get that today. You can only control what happens today. You can't control what happened yesterday. You can't control what happened the day before. But you can control how you respond to your problems. You can control how you respond to people. You can control how you respond to hurtful words. You can control how you respond to somebody who's being mean to you. You can control how my attitude is going to be. And so I've got to learn to focus in and say, God, I'm going to praise You daily, telling God how great He is in my life. Some of you say, well, Pastor, that's easy to do, but God hasn't done anything great for me lately. And I can tell you that's a very selfish attitude that all of us can fall into at times. We see other people getting things happen in their life. We see other people getting blessed by God, and we're like, yeah, that's great. They can praise God because look what happened to them. Well, they can praise God. Look what God did for them and how He blessed them. But when has He done anything for me lately? You know, what has He done for me lately? What has God done for me lately? What has He done for me? And I just take you back to the scripture right here in Romans 5:8, which says, God showed us His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And I would tell you this, if God never does another thing for you, if God never does another thing in your life, realizing that while I was yet a sinner, that Christ died for me. If I never realized that God never did another thing in my life, except for He died for me, for my sins, that's enough to praise Him every day in my life. Some of you need to get that down deep in your heart, realizing that he died on the cross for my sins. And through him, I have forgiveness of my sins, that I can be redeemed, that I can be right spirit and renewed in my heart with Christ and my right place, that I can praise God every day no matter what I go through in my life. If that one thing alone is all I've got to hold on to, then you hang on to that. And every day you thank him. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ, you died for me. Nobody else died for you. Nobody else forgave you. Everybody else, they hold a grudge, don't they? People, family, friends, they hold grudges. They don't forget. But Jesus said, I forgive and I forget. He said, our sins are cast away, man, into the sea of forgetfulness. Man, they are there to be buried and never brought back up, erased. Our sins are washed away. And if that one thing alone is enough to every day to get up and say, God, I love you. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. You and I need to focus on God and telling God how great he is. We need to, this daily habit, this has got to be a daily habit of every day saying, God, you are great and greatly to be praised. And some of you say, why, Pastor, is it happy daily? Isn't Sunday enough? I come to church on Sunday. I don't forget what God's done in my life. We would never do that, would we? We would never forget. I mean, we can make it Sunday to Sunday. And I go back, let's just look at history. We've been horrible at this all throughout Scripture. We see we're horrible at this as human beings of remembering what God has done in our life. How many remember the little story? Maybe you've heard about it. It's called, you know, the children of Israel, Moses, the parting of the Red Sea. You remember when the waters were parted and over 1 million people walked across on dry land, and then God put the waters back when Pharaoh's army came after them? I mean, you talk about one of the greatest miracles to have witnessed. I mean, we couldn't have physically seen a greater miracle and not been like, oh, you know, I'll never forget this miracle as long as I live, seeing the waters part and dry land. I mean, that's just to think about it. You know, you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. The very next day, they got hungry. I'm like, where's God? God, where are you? We're hungry. If he brought us out here to the desert to die of thirst and starvation. I mean, one day the waters are parted. The next day, God, where are you? So it's important that every day we don't forget to praise God. Every day we get up and say, God, my focus is upon you. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. God, you are an awesome God. Lord, I praise your name today, Lord, because there's no other name except the name Jesus. God, there's no higher name than your name. God, I thank you that you died for me, and Lord, I'm going to live for you today. Be Lord of my life today. Begin to praise God every day. Get in the spiritual habit of praising God every day. Matthew 6:6 says, Jesus said, there, here is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there simply and honestly as you can manage. Then focus the shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. Tell God how great he is. That's what he's saying. Get yourself away and say, God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Talk to God about what you need. Number two, how do we focus on God? We got to talk to him about what we need. Now, some of us here today, we have a lot of pictures about what talking to God looks like. And we call it prayer. We talk it, you know, communicating to God. But some of us have a different idea of what prayer really is. And some of us, we think that prayer is a spiritual slot machine, you know? That, all right, I'm going to pray this prayer. And come on, God. Come on, you know. Didn't get this time, but maybe next time. Hallelujah, Lord. You know? I guess you don't pull them anymore. I guess you can just push the button. But not that I would know that, but I've heard that. Anyway. Some of us think of a spiritual slot machine, you know, it's just a roll of the dice. All right, Lord, here we go. Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, didn't get it this time. Oh, amen, we got the answer this time. Some of us think of prayer as just kind of this spiritual gambling, you know. Maybe it's going to happen. Maybe we'll get lucky this time. Others picture prayer as like going to the dentist. It's a painful thing we don't like to do very often. Or sometimes some of us think of prayer like the 911 call. Hello, God, right here. Hello, emergency. You know, right here, sirens going off. Lord, do you not see what I'm going through? Hello, Lord, right here. You know, we have the spiritual 911 call going out. We have all these things happening, you know, and we have all these different pictures of what prayer really is. Some of us, we do it when it's an emergency, and that's the only time we should pray. And some of us think when we pray, we should only do it, you know, it's just the only a chance. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Or some of us think of prayer as a painful thing. A couple years back, Newsweek did a study on prayer, and it said that 87% of Americans believe in prayer. 87% of Americans said they believe that God answers prayer. Isn't that a stunning statistic? Because on the same poll, it also said that only 25% pray daily. There's something messed up with that picture. That 86% of Americans believe in the power of prayer, that God can answer prayer, but only 25% of Americans pray daily. Somewhere we got to focus that and change that back around, where prayer becomes a daily thing of talking to God, communicating to God every day. And this is also this big picture of prayer, and I draw it again from the Olympics, of we see something that, you know, praying is kind of like something that I can't do, you know. I can't pray like this, so I can't pray like this person. I can't do this prayer. You know, I remember one time in high school, maybe some of you have heard, can you guys hear me okay over here? Can you hear me fine? Let me pick this up. We'll work on this again later. This is a good story, so I don't want you to miss it. So I want to make sure I tell you a good story. You know, you can miss the other stuff. Don't miss the Pastor Gene story, right? Okay. No, I'm just playing. In high school, we had a track meet in my high school. And so, you know, being a member of the football team, I volunteered to graciously help my school out for the state championship track meet that was going on. Out of the goodness of my heart, I just want to help out. I know what's going on during school. It was happening during school hours, and I got out of class to do it. But, you know, I just want to be a good servant and help out. So I got out of class to go help run this track meet all day long, state championship track meet. And some of the best athletes from around the state were there. And a couple of the guys went on to play, you know, major college football, Notre Dame, Oklahoma University, and some other big universities. I mean, some really major track stars and some really good high school athletes there. And I was helping run some of the events there. And they all broke for lunch, and they all left. And when they left, you know, of course, I just got to realize that I just think there's not too much I can't do. I just was stupid that way, you know. I didn't have a lot of sense. I always thought I could just about, pretty much do just about anything I've seen out there. I could do that, you know. I could, if I really trained, I mean, even to probably 6 months ago, I probably felt this way, you know. I watched the Olympics. If I ever trained, I could really do that, you know. My kids ask me all the time, Dad, could you do it? Oh, yeah, if I get back in shape, no problem. You know, in my mind, you guys know I'm telling the truth. In my mind, we think we can still do everything. And it started, I had this problem back then, and I had this problem with these pole vaulters, you know. I never had done that, but I thought, I can do this. And so they left there, and of course, the pole was on the ground. And so nobody was around, so I picked it up, thinking, you know, I can clear that. I've never tried this before in my life, okay, but I can do it. And I remember getting back, and I'm a fast guy, and I'm sprinting, you know, and I hit the thing this right. Push! Shot me out across that pole vault. I missed the mat, landed on the pavement, skinned my back all up, my got up. My friend's like, dude, are you all right? I'm like, I was like, don't ever try that, you know. I couldn't breathe. I was like, don't ever try that. That was stupid, you know. Golly, I just, how did I survive that, you know? In our minds, some of us look at prayer as this thing of pole vaulting, you know. I can never accomplish that, so I don't pray because I can never say the right words or I can never do the right thing. I can never talk to God the way it should be. And wouldn't it be nice if we had an interpreter? We got a video ready here. I want to show you this. I thought this kind of just really, really, we talk about God and what we need. This video kind of summed up some of us, our view of prayer. Wouldn't it be nice to have an interpreter?
Joel Carpenter is a new Christian, so to help him pray, we've hired that super pastor guy you see on TV.
God, please help my marriage. We're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, He who's created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at His command. I beseech You, take this woman that You've given to me as a helpmate and bring her to her senses that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask You now, in this area of employment, Thee who gives me the sustenance in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be Your will, that would bring You glory.
My kids are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You have blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that You would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of Your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with You, Lord, bowing before You, giving You all that You deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
God go. Real people, real prayers.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could just have a spiritual TBN guy right there, you know, saying our prayers? Sometimes we think it is, but how many know that both guys were praying, you know, and it didn't make a difference. God was hearing both prayers. You know, one guy was interpreting what we think is spiritual. I mean, God talking a spiritual voice, and, you know, and we try to pray like our Father prayed, and, oh, Heavenly Father, you know, no, just relax. This is not Paul Volting, okay? Just be yourself and say, God, hey, God, I'm struggling in my marriage. God, my kids are driving me crazy today. God, my job. Oh, God, my health. You know, whatever it is you're going through, just communicate with God. That's what prayer is. And learning to be a spiritual giant is learning that you've got to communicate to God and talk to Him. And how do we do this? When we talk to God, we talk to Him about the things that you really care about. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. So how do we talk to God simply by this way? We talk to Him by... When you talk to God, talk to Him about the things that you really care about. Tell Him what you really are going through. Make it simple. God, this is the things that are really important to me. And two, we talk to God the first 2 minutes of the day, in the first 2 minutes of my job, in the first 2 minutes I'm in the car. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is a spiritual habit. It's very simple, but it will change your life. Write down 2 minutes. God, the first 2 minutes. First 2 minutes of what? The first 2 minutes I get up. Well, Pastor, in the first 2 minutes, I'm very grumpy when I get up in the morning. I'm very grumpy. You know what? God can handle you being grumpy. It's okay. I think God gets grumpy with us a few times in my life. Look at those spiritual kids. My God, did I know what I gave my life for Him? They can say my God because his God's right there. You know. Anyway, He's talking to him. And so, you know, God can handle it. So the first 2 minutes of my day, and what would happen when the first 2 minutes we get in our car if we would just leave the radio off for 2 minutes and say, God, I'm going to praise Your name today. God, be with me today. God, this is what's going on in my life. This is what I need You to help me with when I get to my job today. God, when I get home in the car, I start driving home from work. God, the first 2 minutes of that drive, God, help me when I get to walk through that door to be the father You've called me to be. Help me to be the husband I need to be. Help me be the mom to my children. What would happen if we take the first 2 minutes of when I got to my job and wherever you're at, and in your mind and your heart, you begin to pray, God, help me be the best employer I can be today. God, help me be the best boss I can be today. What would happen if we got to school and students, when you walked in, whether at your school or your university, and you said, God, help me today to be the best Christian I can be. God, help me to be the best student I can be today. Take the first 2 minutes of what you're doing. Just focus on God, telling Him what you need. Talk to Him as specifically as you can about what you're facing and what you need in life. You know, God likes specifics. And I think something that really... I was preparing this message this weekend, and something happened to us this weekend that really brought this home. And we had an incident that happened Friday night where my wife went to Stephen Berry's, and she left her car and went straight into Stephen Berry's and came back and get back in her car and couldn't find her keys anywhere. And she hadn't been anywhere but from Stephen Berry's, so went back to her car, and for some strange reason, just could not find the keys anywhere. And these are hard keys to lose. I mean, they're like, you know, they weigh like 25 pounds. I mean, it's got a pitcher and a flashlight and keychains and keys to the church, keys to the shop, keys to the house, keys to her mom's house when she was 12 years old. I mean, she got keys all over the thing. And we went in to guess. She called me, and we went by there, and we looked. We went all through that store. Every place she went, backtracked, and gave them our name, and we couldn't find them. And it happened to be the only keys, set of keys left to this particular vehicle, and had the, you know, the opener on it. So, you know, I'm thinking, as the first thing as a husband, I'm thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to be supportive, but, ooh, I'm so mad. Why was I mad? Because I don't want to pay the money to buy a new opener and have a, I'm thinking I got to have a new key made by the locksmith coming to make a new, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm already starting to see the hundreds of dollars adding up here real fast. Guys, real compassionate. I'm just being real, you know. I didn't run to her and say, oh, honey, it's okay. You know, inside I'm like, I was struggling, okay? I'll be honest with you. You know, that night I went to bed, I said, honey, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Just sleep. It's all right, honey. Because they were closing by the time this happened, and so we had to leave the car there overnight and come back and try to figure it out the next morning. Honey, don't worry about it. This, I didn't sleep at all that night. I was thinking about how much money it's going to cost me. And so the next day, we had a ball game early that morning, went back the next day, and you know, my son, my 10-year-old son, who is a lot more spiritual than I am many times, said, Dad, he goes, how about we just pray? I mean, what a brilliant concept. To tell a pastor. He said, Dad, why don't we just pray? And so he prayed that God would help us find our keys. And we went back to, you know, and I'm thinking, God, you better help us. And Lord, you know, I don't want to. So, you know, we calmed down. I went back and we looked the next morning. And I was a lot more calmer. And we calmed down, but we still couldn't find them. And we thought, well, you know, we got to do something. And so instead of having to pay several hundred dollars, I called over a roper. And Darren, you wasn't there, but I talked to Darlene, and she helped me out, and, you know, $6, I was able to get a master key made that would fit my door. I mean, $6, okay? And so and we were right across the street from Roper Condo. So we went over there, and as I got in there to buy the key, I met this lady there, and as I was talking to her, she began to open up, and we began to talk about things that were going on in her life, and it was a God-ordained time that I was there because she was very open to getting herself back in the church and talking about some things that were going on in her life. And I spent some time talking to her there. And, you know, we no longer left that place. And just a little bit long time later, they called us and said, hey, we found your keys. They were up here all along at the counter, and they had fallen behind, and someone didn't report it. And, you know, and I was thinking, you know what? God all along, he had a plan. There was probably a reason why we didn't find those keys. And really the real reason was probably for me to go talk to that lady at Roper Honda that needed to hear and talk to me as a pastor. And shortly after that, our keys came right back up. But see, I've got to quit worrying about so many things and just begin to give God prayer. God, you're in control. God, you're in control even over lost keys. God, you're in control over the little things that we're going through. We got to learn to give. My son had so relevant slapped me in the face with this lesson this weekend. You know, it's all right to calm down no matter what we're going through and pray about everything. Even lost keys, even things that are bothering us to be saying, God's not, you know, that's, no, pray about all things. Spiritual giants begin to pray about things in their life that other people don't want to pray about. When's the last time that God surprised you by answering a prayer that you didn't think really had significance to nobody else? That's the way our God is. Nobody else could care about God answering that prayer of us finding our keys, but it meant a lot to us. You know, when Mel and I were first married, we used to play this game called Guess What I Want for my birthday. Guess What I Want for Christmas. How many married couples know what I'm talking about? We had this thing, you guess what I want. If you really love me, you'll be able to read my mind and get me what I want for my birthday or for Christmas. And we played this game going out, trying to surprise each other, you know, and getting things and no matter what we bought, it'd always go back and be traded for something different. And finally, we looked at each other and said, what are we doing, you know? All right, you just tell me, honey, what you want, and I will do my best to do it for you, baby. We quit playing this game of guessing. You know, you make it plain. I know you may think you're giving me hints, but I'm a man, and I don't always pick up on hints. And so you just tell me, what do you want, you know, and she spells it out very clearly. I want this. You know, this is what I would like to have for my birthday. And she lets them very clearly. And so we quit playing this game of guessing. And some of us kind of think that's the way it is with God, you know, that, you know, God's just going to read my mind and know what I want. No, it's important that you verbalize it. It's important that you verbalize that, God, this is what I need in my life. God, this is what I want in my life. God, these are the things I'm going through in my life. Verbalize it. Don't just say, God reads my mind. He loves me. He created me, and he knows. No, he may know what's going on inside you. He does know what's going on inside you. It's not a may. He does know. But it still is an act of faith of saying, God, I need you to do this. And God, I'm needing you to intervene on this. God, I need your help here. It's an act of submission on my part. It's an act of faith on my part. It says, God, I can't do it myself. I need you. So I express to God what I need. I focus on him. You know, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want them to be answered. If the request is wrong, God oftentimes says, no, that's not the right thing for you. If the timing is wrong, God will say, slow down. It's not the right timing. If you are wrong, then God will many times say, grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says, go for it, man. And there's times in life God says, go for it. And other times we have to be patient and wait and see what God's doing in our life. But I have to express, and being a spiritual giant is revealing a champion in you, is learning to communicate with God daily, praising his name, telling God what you need in your life, and being specific about it. And the last thing here is trying to trust God and take the next step. Trust God and take the next step. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will direct your paths. We got to learn to take the next step. Now, let's take a step. Trust God and take that next step. Some of you have been stuck where you have been for years. For years, you've been stuck in the same place. I'm trusting God to help me to go forward my finances. And as soon as he does, I'm going to learn to give my tithe and offering. No, trust God. Take that step. Say, God, I'm going to trust you now. I'm going to pay my tithe and offering now. You know, I believe that God, once I get this new job, I'm going to have more time. I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to have all the devotion time I need with God. No, take a step now and make some time now. Get up a little 15 minutes early, what you're doing now, and focus some time on God. Build it in now. Take a step now. Don't wait, because it will never happen. It's never going to happen if you don't do it now. Now. Quit putting it off. Just do it. Go for it. Take a step of faith. Philippians 3 says it like this. I am still not all that I should be. I am not all I should be, but I am focusing on my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for God through Jesus Christ is calling me up to heaven. We push, John, don't we? We push. Push forward. And we go forward. That we have to take the next step. Go for it. Go for it. I hear as your pastor today, I want to tell you this. You go for it. You push ahead. Go for it. Don't stop. Don't stop where you're at. Don't settle for where you're at. Go for it. You can do it. You can become the champion that God's called you to be. It starts with some very simple disciplines in our life. These aren't the answers. This is not a formula, but some things that we're going to get you refocused in upon God's will for your life. And as you begin to focus on how great he is and how much you need him, our priorities begin to change. As I quit worrying, I begin to worship. My things begin to change. When I focus upon God instead of my problem, my attitude changes. My spirit changes. My faith changes. I begin to flex some spiritual abs I didn't know I had because I'm changing who I am. As musicians come this morning, and we close out here, one of my most awesome scriptures that we see in Hebrews 11 and 12, I'm not going to read them to you, but write these down this week and read this story in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. We see where the Hall of Fame for heroes, and we have the Hall of Fame for everything else. Did you know there's a Hall of Fame for Bible heroes? And it's right here. You find it in Hebrews 11 and 12. It's a great story of these Hall of Fame guys, and people like Abraham and Moses and David are mentioned here. And as I think about them, it's very easy to see that these guys were not perfect guys. Do you realize that? These guys made the Hall of Fame, the spiritual Hall of Fame. But man, they had some of the worst mess ups ever. I mean, these guys, they messed up big time. They blew it big time in their life. Made some horrible mistakes in their life. But yet they ended up in the spiritual Hall of Fame. How is that? Because God's not looking for perfect people. Wow. But God's looking for honest people. People who will begin to pursue after him and say, God, I want your righteousness in my life. God, I want to grow in you daily. God, I want to leave the old man I was behind. And I want to, even though I made a mistake, God, I'm going to get up. I'm not going to be defined by my mistake. I'm not defined by my past, but I'm defined on who your word says I am. I'm defined on my future and where I'm going. In Christ Jesus, I'm moving forward. I'm not going to stay here and be a person who's defined and held back my past. And he says, when we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, this is what he says here in the story. He names these guys Abraham and David, Moses. And as he was talking about that, my mind is pictured to back to the Olympics. And one of the most awesome views they have in the Olympics is usually toward the last. They save some of the best running events in the very last. And as these guys are running the races, they have the camera angles to have some of the heroes in the stands right there. And they're watching these guys. And so you can see some of the guys who ran the races ahead of them that are out there, and they got the country's flag and uniform on, and they're at the corner, and these guys are circling the track, and they're out there waving them on. Come on, you can make it, you can do it, you know, and they're out there cheering them on. And some of these great camera angles will show the guy running, and it'll show the guy who's from their country, who's already won the medal, out there cheering them on. Come on, you can make it, you can do it. These guys are fighting through it. They're thinking, all this, I've given all my life training for this, and I'm not going to give up. And these guys are pushing through, and they feel like giving up. Sometimes they get hurt in the race, and they pull a hamstring, or they twist an ankle or something, and they want to give up, but they trained all their life for that, and these guys will be out there, and they'll be limping across them, trying to get to the end. They won't give up, and you'll see some guy come up in the stands, and teammate come and put their arm around them. And say, come on, we're going to finish. We're going to finish what we started. And that's just the picture that I'm getting with this story. And it talks about these great men of faith. We have this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, and that we are running this race, and there's a spiritual champion in you. And you got to realize spiritually that Moses and Abraham and David, they're saying, you can make it. Come on, don't give up. Pastor, I failed God, and I've made some mistakes. And they're saying, so what? So that we're in the spiritual Hall of Fame. You can do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Spiritually, their spirit's coming behind us, and God's sending his Holy Spirit. And it's encouraging us. But come on, we can make it. Press forward. Put your focus back on God. Don't allow your past to define you. Say, God, every day I'm going to focus in upon you. Every day I'm going to learn to praise your name. Every day I'm going to learn to communicate with you. Every day I'm going to learn to tell you what I'm going through. Every day I'm going to learn to put my trust in you. Simple put, as I do that, I am spiritually exercising. I am spiritually training. I am getting myself ready to reveal the champion that God has inside me. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, that your word just brings life to us. It brings correction. It brings change if we allow it to get into our heart. And today, if you're here and you say, Pastor Gene, as you're talking about these things, I realize one thing, first of all, that I haven't even asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. And today, as you're speaking, as I've been in worship, and I just know that I need to give my life to Jesus. And today, you want to join this team of believers and say, you know what? I want to accept Jesus Christ also. Before I do anything else this morning, first of all, I just got to accept Jesus Christ. Or maybe you've made a decision in the past, and you find yourself so far away from God, you haven't lived for him at all. And you said, today, I want to get back, and I want to get right with God. I want to refocus my life and ask God to renew my heart. I want to come back and begin to serve God the way I know I should. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life, I will not embarrass you at all. No one's looking but me. But can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me today. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Can you raise it where I can see it? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? We've got four people. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life today. Anybody else today? You want to join these four others who raised their hands and said, I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Today, we're going to, before we do anything else, we're going to pray for you. We're going to ask that everybody repeat this prayer after me. If you raised your hand today, we're going to say this prayer, and I want you to really mean it from your heart today. So let's all repeat it. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as Lord of my life. I give you my sin. I give you everything I am. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. I will trust in you. So if you prayed that prayer, first of all, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Amen. You give him a hand clap, yeah. You made the most important decision you could ever make in your life. And this is not the end. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning. You say, you know what? I prayed this prayer, and now I'm going to do my best to turn away from the person I used to be and do a 180 and turn around and begin to walk in a different direction. I'm walking in a different direction. I'm going to begin to pursue right living with Jesus. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some times where you struggle. But it means that no matter what you go through, it's you are pursuing a lifestyle that pleases him. A lifestyle that says, God, I'm putting you first in everything I do. It's important to get plugged into a church family and home. You need to be here as often as you can. You need to get plugged into a home group of friends who can help support you, because there's going to be friends out there who want to drag you down. But you need to get surrounded with friends who are going to help support you in your decision to live for Christ. And today, if someone brought you and invited you, make sure you let them know that, hey, I prayed that prayer today. I prayed that prayer today, and let them know that you did that today. For the rest of us today, I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. And as you stand out today, I'm going to close out on the prayer. How many today say, Pastor, as you're speaking, I want God in this next 3 weeks, I'm praying that God would just begin to reveal the spiritual champion in me. Can you do that? How many can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's my prayer. Over the next 2 weeks, I'm praying that God would begin to reveal some things in my life. That God would get me refocused on who he is and what he wants to do in my life. Yeah, thank you guys. Many of you guys are raising your hands. So I'm going to say a prayer for you today. And I couldn't make it any simpler, any plainer today on some habits we can do to begin to refocus our life. My challenge to you is take those first 2 minutes of things you do this week. Put God first. Communicate with God daily, telling him how great he is, and simply telling him what you're going through in your life. And see if it doesn't make a difference in who you are. See if it doesn't make a difference in your spiritual climate, of your home, of your job, in your own personal life. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, today, we thank you, first of all, for those who prayed the prayer of salvation, who made a decision, Lord, to join the family of God. Lord, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. It's because of them. Father, we rejoice in their decision today. We rejoice in that today. Father, also today, we pray for those who are here. And Lord, so many raised their hands today. Said, Father, they want to, over this next 3 weeks, they're praying that, God, you begin to reveal a spiritual champion in their life. That, God, you have created us, God, to be spiritual champions. You have created inside all of us, Lord, spiritual giants who can walk, Lord, who can walk in a deeper calling in you. We can go to a new level in you. And Father, I pray that, Father, we begin to focus, Lord, our attention upon you. God, your word says that we are the object of your affection. God, help us to reverse that, God, and also make you the object of our affection. More than anything else, God, may you be the apple of our eye. May you be the center of order, who we want to please more than anybody else. And God, I pray that, Father, this week we begin to put the first 2 minutes of everything we do, and we focus on giving you praise. May we focus on telling you what we're going through. Lord, help us to keep our minds alert and focused in upon who you are in our life and surrendering everything we are to you this week. God, may us start, Lord, some spiritual training in our life, getting back on the right track, training, God, for the spiritual Olympics you have for our life, Lord. I believe your spiritual giants, spiritual champions are being raised up, are being trained. And Father, this series is going to spark a new, fresh season in our life. And we thank you together. We say amen. Amen. God bless you. Wednesday night, I'll be teaching. The adult class will be here. Come out Wednesday night. If you join us, the youth will be leading some worship, and then I'll be breaking off and doing an adult Bible study. Come and join us Wednesday night if you can. Get him plugged into a small group. God bless you. Amen.